This is a podcast for the distance learning route on the MA in Online Journalism at Birmingham City University. In this podcast, I want to talk a bit more about networks, following on from the previous introduction to why networks are important to journalists working in an online environment. And I want to talk about setting up a network infrastructure. And I'm going to do this by talking about my own network infrastructure and how I operate as an online journalist to monitor possible stories, possible leads, to maintain relationships with contacts, and to keep a resource of material, of information, which has or may come in useful as a journalist. And my network infrastructure really consists of three things. Those three things in concrete technologies. The first part of that infrastructure is an RSS reader. For me specifically, it's Google Reader, but you can find various other RSS reader software, such as NetVibes. Some of these are desktop-based and some of them are web-based. I prefer a web-based one because you can access it from a mobile phone or from any device. So what is an RSS reader? Well, an RSS reader basically takes feeds from sources of information around the web. Most of ours will be websites, news websites, blogs, but they can be anything. An RSS feed can come from anywhere. It can come from individual Twitter users, for example, or lists of Twitter users, or everyone that you're following on Twitter. It can come from a particular search, results from a particular search on Twitter, or results from a particular search on Google News. It can come from results of a search on a blog search engine like IceRocket, so you can follow any mention of a particular organisation or a particular event or a particular person. And it can come from the results of searches on specialist services like BoardReader, which searches forums. So you can get RSS feeds from all kinds of sources, and what an RSS reader does is gather them all in one place, so you're not having to visit multiple websites to check if anything new has been added. Now, RSS stands for, it can stand for really simple syndication. There are other things it can stand for as well. It doesn't really matter what it stands for, but if syndication helps you, the S in RSS is around syndication. That's probably a good way to explain it. In the same way that newswires and some publishers syndicate their content to publishers, as an RSS reader user, you are taking feeds, free feeds. You don't have to pay for them, so they're not syndicated in the sense that it costs you any money, but they're syndicated in the sense that they come to you. And that saves you a lot of time, having that all in one place. The other advantage of using an RSS reader like Google Reader is that you can search through your feeds. You can share individual items if you want to make them public. You can add notes and tags. You can star them so that you look at them later, for example. And of course, you can access them across multiple devices. So in my case, I always check my RSS reader in the morning on a mobile phone when I'm travelling, for example. So it's a good use of downtime. So in a nutshell, what an RSS reader does is keep you up to date with the latest that's happening across various sources of information that you are monitoring. It is about the up-to-date stuff, the latest news. It's about keeping on top of things. And even if it doesn't lead to leads, it gives you, over time at least, it gives you a general awareness, which means you have a new sense about what is important, when something changes, who the key people are, what the background is. It's just a very good way of keeping in touch with a particular feed, field. So that's the first part of my network infrastructure. The second part is a social network or more than one social network. In my case, Twitter is quite obviously the primary one, but it may be different for the particular networks that you're operating in the particular fields. So if you're working in a business-to-business environment, then LinkedIn might be very important. If you're interested in a particular niche where the people gather on forums, then that forum might be your social network. Facebook would be an obvious social network if you're dealing with students or indeed most groups of people now as the dominant social network. But what a social network does in terms of a network infrastructure is keep you in touch with sources and contacts. It keeps you in touch with people. So whereas an RSS reader is about the latest information, a social network is about the people in your field. And there are two sides to that. First of all, obviously there is information being exchanged there. People might be exchanging information about changes, about what they're doing, about what they're planning to do or what they have done, and all of that may lead to new stories. But equally importantly, social networks are about maintaining relationships. Now, as journalists, we've always maintained relationships with contacts, and it is still vitally important to maintain those relationships in person. The social network adds a new dimension to this, and it is a new dimension. It's not a replacement for traditional, if you like, person-to-person friendships and relationships and contacts, but it adds this extra dimension. And what that dimension is about partly keeping in touch with people who you might otherwise not see for months on end, and secondly, instigating relationships. So if, for example, you want to make contact with someone, traditionally you might have to either try to arrange a meeting or go to an event which this person is going to be at and try to bump into them. With a social network, you can ease into that a bit more, in a bit more of a subtle fashion. So, for example, you might retweet something by someone that you want to start to build a relationship with. And that just makes them aware of you without you being too in their face. You might reply to one of their tweets. You might join in a conversation. You might like their Facebook update or give a thumbs up to their forum post. There are various ways that you can maintain and make contact with people in very subtle ways using social networks. And that's very important because it allows you to maintain a much wider group of contacts, and in some cases a more diverse group than would be the case if you were relying only on physical contact, and geographical limitations play a particular role here. So that's why social networks are the second part of my network infrastructure. It's about maintaining contacts. Thirdly and finally, the final part of my network infrastructure, and in some ways the most important, is social bookmarking. And this is the one part of my infrastructure which I always struggle most to convey to students. It's the one area which students take up least enthusiastically. And I think the reason for this is that social bookmarking is very much a long-term activity. But it's very hard to see the short-term benefit of it, or the benefit in the short term. Social bookmarking is something that takes months, possibly a year, to really show the benefits. But once it does, you will find it more useful than anything else. Social bookmarking is basically using a service, a web-based service, to keep a record of useful web pages. That might be a report, it might be the profile of an individual. It might be some facts, it might be a previous article on a subject. It could be anything really, anything that's on a web page. Now, the social element of it is where it becomes really interesting, because the services, the social bookmarking services, not only allow you to bookmark things so that you can find them later, but it also allows you to see who else has bookmarked them. It allows you to see what else has been bookmarked with the same tag. A tag will describe the contents of that web page, so it might say Birmingham, it might say report, it might say statistics, environment, UK government, whatever descriptive words you want to use to be able to find this later. So it provides a way to find similar material and people bookmarking similar material online. The service that I use for social bookmarking is delicious.com. It is one of the oldest services. It is probably the best known, along with Dig. Other examples include StumbleUpon. And it's basically a way of keeping track of all of the sources of information that you come across. So if you come across an interesting article through your RSS reader, it's a good idea to get in the practice of bookmarking it in case you want to find it again later. Likewise, if someone shares a link on Twitter and you open it and you think that's a useful report, that might come in useful for something I write at a future date, then bookmark it. Make sure you tag it effectively. So get in the habit of using particular tags. So like I say, report is a useful one, research, stats, facts, people, person, contact, anything like that. Places, people are important, and that makes it easier for you to find later. And what that means also is that you can do your journalism faster in the future when you come to access these cuttings. And it is basically a virtual cuttings file. So if you decide in 6 months' time, something topical happens and you need to write something about, let's say, an environmental issue, then you can look at all your environmental bookmarks. You can look at the ones that have been tagged report or research or stats to find that report that you remember from way back when that you never read, or you couldn't even, in some cases, you might have forgotten you even saw. And it will just allow you to add background and context to a story much more quickly than if you were starting from scratch. So it gives you a base to build from. And it also, as I say, allows you to find similar resources by clicking on the tags and seeing what else other people have bookmarked with that tag, and who else as well, because you can find people that way. In many ways, Delicious is part social network, although a very small part. So that's my network infrastructure, the three elements, the RSS reader, the social network, and social bookmarking. The final key point about all these three is that they are all interconnected. So they do not operate in isolation. And what connects them all is that same technology that underlies the RSS reader. It is RSS. All of these things have RSS feeds. So your social networks will have RSS feeds, although Facebook doesn't have an RSS feed. Facebook pages will do. Some forums have RSS feeds, but not all. But if you're using Twitter, it will have an RSS feed. Delicious has hundreds of RSS feeds. You will have an RSS feed for you. You will have an RSS feed for individual tags. There are RSS feeds for everything that everybody has tagged with a particular tag. And you can get RSS feeds for other users as well. And you can get RSS feeds for combinations of tags as well. And those RSS feeds can be cross-published. So, for example, you can use a service like Twitter Feed to publish everything that's bookmarked with a particular tag to Delicious, to Twitter, sorry. You can also use the same technology to publish from your Google Reader if you've got shared items. That has an RSS feed as well. So look at Twitter Feed and look at cross-publishing the RSS feed from your Delicious page to Twitter, for example. Likewise, you can subscribe to an RSS feed of people on Delicious in your Google Reader. You can subscribe to an RSS feed of the people you follow on Twitter on your RSS reader, although I wouldn't advise that. You can use a Facebook app like RSS Graffiti to cross-publish an RSS feed onto a Facebook page. So the technology of the RSS, which is incredibly powerful, allows you to instantly cross-publish between these different parts of your network infrastructure. And that's really the key to that network infrastructure. It's about keeping up to date with the latest information through an RSS reader. It's about keeping in touch with contacts through social networks. And it's about keeping a bank of easily accessible information and cuttings using social bookmarking.